We're going to read this morning from the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to break in at verse number 10. Paul has been ministering here and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's a wonderful study in itself, the priesthood of Melchizedek. We're going to commence for the sake of time at verse number 10 and read into the first few verses of chapter 6. We're talking here about the Lord Jesus, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee, and we thank thee, O God, for the encouragement and the challenge of the word of God. We bless thee, O God, in every circumstance of life, and that every time in life thou hast a word for us to encourage us in our pilgrim pathway. And today as we come to minister thy word, we pray that thou prepare every heart. O God, open our hearts to receive the good seed of the word of the Lord. And grant, O God, that we will this day be doers of the word of God. And grant our Father, as the congregation makes its way into this year, that it might know much of the blessing and the power and the reviving influence of the Lord our God. So, our Father, we pray, close us in with thyself. Take away every distracting thought that Satan would bring to our minds. And grant, O God, that we'll focus upon the eternal things relating to thee and the way that we are to walk for thee. Our Father, we pray, come and bless us now and speak by the Holy Ghost. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today on this first Sabbath of the new year, we stand on the threshold of yet another year, and also in the case of a church, on the threshold of a new era. In 2 weeks' time, Dr. Saunders will assume the mantle of the ministry of this pulpit and this congregation, and I will be gradually reducing my involvement in the work of the church here in Toronto. Already, we have more than adequately covered the past year, and then looking back over the past history and ministry of the congregation. And as we look back, we do realize that first of all, we must praise the Lord and thank him for all that has been done. Because as we stood in the threshold of the work in 1976, we had no idea the way the Lord was going to direct and the Lord was going to guide. But we do give him thanks, and we are today at the place where the Lord has brought us by the grace of God. But now as we stand on the threshold of a new year and of a new era, it is time for us to look forward. And we need to look and see by faith what the Lord would stretch out before us, as he did in 1976. He opened up doors for us. He led us in a way that we never could have understood. And today, may the Lord also give us the eye of faith to see the great things He's going to do in days to come. The good thing is that we can face the future confident in the fact that God never changes. We change, and our circumstances change. The circumstance of this congregation is changing at this present time. And while we live in a world of change and of flux and things moving on, yet thank God we have this great thing that never moves. That's the Lord. He is the God who never changes. So while we may feel weak in ourselves, we can face the future because God never changes. And as He promised at the beginning, He will build His church, and He's still building the church of Jesus Christ, and will do until the last believer is taken over Jordan into glory. This morning I want to leave you four words. Four words is a challenge. Four simple words, and they amount to nine letters in our English. Very simple words. Chapter 6 and verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, then these four words, let us go on. And I trust that you'll take this as a sort of exhortation from the Lord regarding the future ministry of our congregation here. Not hard to remember. God says, let us go on. Now, the first thing I want to share with you here regarding these four words is to speak a little bit about the pilgrimage of life. Because the word pilgrim is a biblical expression. You'll find that Jacob, he spoke of the days of his pilgrimage. Then you'll find the New Testament Paul in this very book here. He speaks of us as believers being strangers and pilgrims. And then Peter also takes up the very same thing in 1 Peter 2 and 11. And he talks about us being strangers and pilgrims. And of course, John Bunyan, in that great allegory that he penned, that is so famous in the world, he put together the Pilgrim's Progress, speaking about the forward movement of the Christian as a pilgrim in his life. And so we face the pilgrimage of life. And in the word pilgrim, you've got the idea of going on. You're moving forward. It's not a static thing. Jacob is talking about going on in his life. In the days of his pilgrimage, he explained that to Pharaoh. The days of my pilgrimage, I'm going on. And the same with Paul and Peter as they use the words. And we're going on from earth to heaven. And that pathway is a series of steps as we move forward and get closer to the day when the Lord calls us into His presence. And so we have a challenge here from the Lord. Let us go forward. Now, in life, sometimes a forward progress, it's a bit like a movie film. If you ever worked with one of those, especially the earlier days, there's a series of frames on a piece of plastic. And within each succeeding frame, very little change to be noted. It's only when you run it through a projector fast and speedily, you can see the movement. So sometimes in life, we go on and the changes are imperceptible almost. We can hardly see what the Lord is doing. But then sometimes you come to a scene change, where it's not just change within some particular scene, but there is a change from one scene to another scene. And that's what we are facing here in the congregation right now. We are facing a major change, and we're coming to a new scene. Just like the children of Israel, when they got to the Red Sea. They were, ahead of them lay the Red Sea, and to the right lay the mountains of Ethiopia, and behind them was the army of Pharaoh. And they were sort of in a corner here. But that was the time that God said to them, go forward. And that was the time that God challenged them to exercise their faith. Now you imagine standing at the edge of the Red Sea and God says, go forward. Is the Lord going to drown us? That's going to happen to us? Are we going to drown in the waters of the Red Sea? No, they were told to go forward and to believe God, to believe His promises and to go forward in trust, trusting that the Lord who brought them safely thus far would safely work through a miraculous passageway through the sea and lead them eventually into the promised land. Now this congregation, over this past year of 2007 and a little longer, has given itself to much prayer. Much prayer with regard to the future. We sought the Lord's face week after week and month after month, and the elders were giving leadership, good leadership, with regard to the future. And so the whole thing was focused on the matter of seeking what was the will of the Lord. And then God answered. God answered prayer, and now God has spoken, and we are to accept what God has done. And now as we come to this place, and the Lord gives us this verse and says, let us go on, let us go on, and let us follow the man that God Himself hath chosen to occupy this pulpit in the years that lie ahead. So we have a pilgrimage of life. We're moving step by step. And if you go back through the history of this church, you'll find that we went step by step. Went from Cosburn Avenue to the Wexford School and then to Warden Avenue and to here. Opened up the school, the old building and then the new building and so on. We have had a whole series of steps. And now the Lord is leading us in our pilgrimage in a major forward movement. And God's word is, let us go on. Now there is the maturing of the testimony. Because Paul draws a contrast at the end of chapter 5. When he talks there, he says, ye have need, verse 12, that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And so Paul is talking here about a progression, about a maturation, a maturing of the people. And likewise in our congregation, we too were only 31 years old. We're not that old really, we're still quite young. But the Lord is leading us forward and He wants us to mature the work as time goes on. I think it was last week I told you that I looked down over a congregation and 5 years ago you were here, but you looked different because all of us are the cells of our bodies. They change. And some of the cells are replaced every few days, actually. And then there's some of them are not replaced for a long time. But they do tell us that in 5 years, all the cells of your body have been completely replaced. The only thing, as one brother pointed out last week, that the replaced ones are not as good as the ones that you had before. At least they look a little bit older, a few wrinkles and so on. But we are moving. And not only that, but the thing is that you're still here. While the cells of your body change, you're still here. You still go on. And likewise in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is moving and it's going. And the cells, they come and they go. And I have in my Bible here, as I always have it, a listing of the 70 people of our congregation that I've buried over the history of this congregation. These are people who were vital cells in the ministry of this congregation. But they have gone. But now there's others have come. Young ones have grown up and so on, and the work is going forward. And while the people change, sometimes going home to glory, but at the overall, the church remains the same. Like Niagara Falls. The Niagara Falls you go down and see today is not the Niagara Falls that you saw yesterday, because the water's over and gone. And so it changes in the churches like that, but the falls continues on, and the church of Jesus Christ continues on. And the maturing of the church grows with the maturity of the membership. And so therefore, the maturing of this congregation in the future lies in your hands. Not just collectively, but individually, because the church is made up of individual believers, and the maturing is therefore in your hands. Now, Paul speaks here about babes. He tells us here that babes, that they are babes because they never progress beyond the milk of the Word of God. Little babies have some problems. Number one, they have a stumbling walk. Once they start to walk, they stumble and they go back and forward and down they go and up they go and they don't walk very securely. And the baby Christians are just the same. They have a stumbling walk. And the Bible, if you go through the epistles there of Ephesians and Colossians and so on, how many times Paul underlines, walk worthy. And he wants us to walk securely. But baby Christians are those who stumble as they go. May God give us a good grip of being able to walk on the pathway that the Lord has mapped out for us in the future. Then also with little babies, they suffer from childish illnesses. Sometimes they get these illnesses and you think they'll never see the next day. I remember sometimes our own kids and some of our grandchildren who were sick with childish illnesses and you thought they'd never see tomorrow. But they survive. And likewise, childish Christians are like that too. They are overcome by the least little thing. But the Lord wants us to be strong, a strong people, a people that will grow in the grace of the Lord our God. And so God would have us not to be overcome by childish things, but to mature believers. And then, of course, the thing about a baby is babies usually cry a lot. And they cry a lot because they have no other means of communication. When they're not feeling well inside, they can't say, "Mom, I've got a sore stomach," because they don't know how to talk yet. They haven't got intelligent speech, and so they just cry. And the mother has to learn to discern between the cry of bad temper and the cry of some particular physical problem. So babies cry a lot. And you'll find, too, that baby Christians are just the same. They moan and they complain and they grumble. And I have found in my experience as a minister that the people who complain most are those who do the least for the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord our God. The people who are working haven't time to complain. The people who fought the battle in the Somme and so on in the World War, they hadn't time to complain about the mud and the circumstances and the food that they were given. They had a battle to fight. And likewise, the congregation has a battle, and we don't want to be seen as babes, but rather those who are of mature age. But this chapter here has a serious problem because in verse number 12 of chapter 5, Paul says you need to be taught again which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And then this, he says, and are become such as have need of milk. Now what he's telling us here about people who were mature, they have gone back down again from maturity to position of being babes. Now I know when a little child is born, it has certain limitations as we've mentioned already. And then you get old, they tell you get back to your second childhood and you go down and your limitations are back there again. We want to make sure that as believers, we are not those who have matured in the Lord and then go back again, like Paul is dealing here, back again from the strong meat to being those who can only take milk as they grow. So may the Lord bless us. And a practical question for every one of us is, am I a person who has grown spiritually in this last year? Am I a person that has grown in my knowledge of the Word of God? And will I be able, as an individual, to add to the maturity of this congregation as it faces the future and the ministry under its new ministry? And so there is the maturing of the testimony. Then there is the instruction of the believer, because Paul says, go on, let us go on. And he's telling us to go on from using milk to using the strong meat. And there's a progression there. And we need to make sure that we advance in the cause of the Lord Jesus, advance in the understanding of the word of the Lord, and that we will be able to handle the strong meat of God's Word. You see, one of the things we're discovering, and people share this with us from other churches, that many believers are starving. They're starving for the ministry of the Word of God, and the churches are starving, and the people are starving because they're not being fed the full orb diet that God has given in His Word. Many of the churches today are feeding their people a diet of candy floss. And that's a serious matter, because it's not going to, might taste okay for a little while, but it's not going to do you very much good. In fact, it'll probably do you a lot of harm. But I'm glad that in this congregation here, down through the years, we have tried as best we can to feed the people on the solid food of the Word of the Lord. Because when you come to face the problems of life, and you come to find Christianity compared to other false religions, how can you react? How can you tell what is right from wrong? The only way you can tell what is right from wrong is if you have a solid grasp of the right that is contained in the Word of God. Then you can say, well, I know that is wrong because the Bible says this here is right. So therefore, we need to have a solid ministry. And in this congregation, we have sought to feed the people with the solid food of the strong meat, and also the milk which is used for young believers to get them strong in the Lord. And we have fed you as best we could the finest of the wheat of the Word of God, and we have given you the honey of Scripture as it is described in all our places. You see, when a parent has a child in home, if you want that child to be healthy, you give that child a healthy, balanced diet. If you feed the child on junk food, it's going to grow up unhealthy. And so therefore, the honest parent and the parent who really feels for their child will make sure that they get a balanced diet of food to make them physically strong. And likewise in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to give a balanced diet from the milk of the Word right through the wheat and the honey to the strong meat. We have to give a balanced diet that our people may be strong in the Lord. Now, how do you progress from milk, the milk of the Word, to the strong meat? Little baby takes bottles and bottles of milk and wouldn't know what to do with a piece of steak. But it's not too long until it gets to a piece of steak. How do we as believers graduate from milk to strong meat? Tells us here in the Scriptures how to do it. And in verse number 14 of chapter 5, it says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age or mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That expression, by reason of use. In other words, God gives us His Word, but we are to use His Word. Let me give you a practical illustration. If somebody comes along with you and asks you a question on some spiritual matter, and the question is, sometimes happens, comes along, and you don't really know how to answer it from the Bible. Well, the one thing you do not do is waffle. Try and not waffle and try and get yourself an answer to the question that may not be the right answer at all. What you do is you be honest and you say, well, I do not at this minute have the answer to that question, but I will look for it. And then you study the Word of God on the particular subject the question is asked. Then you come back to the person and then you tell them, thus saith the Bible and so on, and here is the answer that you're looking for. And what happens? The next time somebody comes along and asks you a question like that, you've got the answer. Because you've used your faculties, You've used your study. You've used your mind. You've used your brain. You've read the Word. You've got the answer. And so the more you find, if you're teaching the children in the Sunday school or the day school, they're going to ask you some questions sometimes. Sometimes little ones at 5 and 6 can ask you questions that you would have a tough time theologically answering. But you don't waffle. You grow, you find the answer, you share it with them, and you find that yourself is growing stronger as you do that. Now, in our church, we've always sought to have a solid doctrinal base for our ministry. And there's a reason for that, because the Church of Jesus Christ is likened to a body. The Lord Jesus is the head, and we are the various elements that make up the body. But the Lord has also told us there that we have to have a backbone. Because if you come into the church today with all the physical attributes that you have right now, but you know, backbone, you'd be sitting here in the church, you wouldn't be able to stand up or sit up. But you have to have a backbone. Backbone is important. And a weak spine will limit effectiveness. How many times have you or other people, you want them to move something or somebody wants you to move, can't do it, back, oh, got a sore back, can't do it, not able to do it. Spine's weak. There are ways of strengthening the spine, by the way, but that's another subject altogether. But in the case of the Christian, we need to have a backbone that is based on the solid doctrine of the Word of the Lord. When you're having a bone problem, the doctors will tell you, you need to take calcium. You need to take calcium, drink milk and so on, or take calcium tablets so that you won't suffer from osteoporosis, the bones getting weak. The only problem is that if you take calcium by itself, it doesn't work too good. So they tell you, you got to take vitamin D with it as well. So you take that, and that helps the calcium be absorbed by the body, and so your bones are strengthened. How do we get a solid backbone in the things of God? Well, the Lord wants us to get a good dose, a daily dose of the doctrine of the Word of God. But not to beat people over the head, but to get the vitamin D of the love of God and present the Word of God in a loving manner. Remember a program, I didn't see it, but I heard about it in Ireland way back 40 years ago. A program on television dealing with some of the wickedness that people were involved in and some of the practices people had that they thought were all right but were not all right. And one of the things that never left my memory was a particular place in the world, and not identify it, where they grew geese. And the idea is that you want a good fat goose for your Christmas dinner or whatever, your Thanksgiving dinner. And so in this particular place, the goose would only eat as much food as it wanted. But what they would do, they'd get the goose by the neck, open its beak, and they'd put the food in and take a ramrod and push it down its neck. And that's a fact. This was actually done. And you get some people who want to force feed the Christian like that, they're ram it down their throat. You need to pray that the Lord will give them an appetite to receive the good word of the Lord. And I think that you can apply the word of God in love, and you'll find that they will be blessed and they'll grow in the grace of the Lord. So the practical question now is, do I know more of the word of the Lord now at the beginning of 2008 as I did at the beginning of 2007. Dr. Saunders has already given you our bulletin, and on the back of the bulletin he has there for you to look at, and to not just look at but to use, he has there a daily reading guide put together by Robert Murray McShane, the godly Robert Murray McShane. And this is for the month of January. This is just preparatory, because working right now on a nice calendar that has the whole year on it. Very nice production. It'll be coming out shortly, and it has a whole year on it, and has all our members' names and our friends' names and so on, the congregation, that's in that as well. But friends, it is important that you read the Bible on a regular basis. Whether you use McShane's program, or you start at Genesis and read straight through, or you start at Genesis and Matthew and read in parallel through those, but it's important that you have a daily ministry of reading the Word of the Lord. Because as you do, and before you read too, just bow your head and say, Lord, show me something new out of thy word today. And you'll find that the Lord will show you something new. But people just say, well, I have so many chapters to read, and down they go. And at the end, what book are you reading in? Can't hardly remember the book, never mind the chapter. We are to read, this is only four chapters a day that McShane has given. You read that and you grow stronger. And the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, the people that do know their God, they're the ones that shall be strong and will do exploits. So may God make us a strong people, and may we go on from milk to the strong meat of the word of the Lord. Then the last point is the edification of a church. And the word edification, of course, has to do with building up. Paul uses another contrast here in the chapter 6. Therefore, and this is strange, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What does he mean by that? Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection. Now that's not perfection, holiness. That is completeness. Go on in completeness to complete our lives according to the will of the Lord. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works and of faith toward God and so on. So he's given us a contrast. And this contrast now is not going from being a babe to being full age, or being one who uses milk going to the strong meat. But now he's telling us here, we're to go from the foundation of the building to the perfection or the completeness of that building, from the foundation to the completed building. Now the foundation in this building is the most important thing. You can look around and enjoy all the nice architecture that we have and all the different parts, but the most important part is the bit you can't see. And if you're at the Watch Night service on Monday night, you would have seen in the video I showed them digging the foundation for this building. And they spent a long time digging a great big hole. You see them building these skyscrapers, the same thing. Maybe take a year digging the hole and getting down there and getting the foundation, because the most important thing is the foundation. Jesus highlighted it. But the man who built his house on the sand, which is a useless foundation, or the man who built his house upon the rock. So the foundation is the most important, and you dig down before you can build up. So the Lord is talking here, and Paul is talking here, about taking a work from its foundation to its completion. And that is equal to the will of the Lord. Now it tells us here, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Does that mean that we are to forget the principles of the doctrine surrounding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. And so on. So he talks about repentance. That's a fundamental change in the sinner's mind. And then he goes on through faith and the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So he's dealing here with some very important doctrines. So is he telling us here we are to leave those and forget those as we go on? Not one bit of it. Because the illustration is so simple. When you go to school, one of the first things you learn new is the alphabet ABC. ABC. So you learn your ABCs. Now, as you grow in your education, you don't leave your ABCs, but you build on them. And every word you speak is a word predicated upon those letters that you learned in school. And every word you write, likewise, is built upon the foundation of the ABCs. What he's given us here are the ABCs of Christian doctrine. And you don't leave them, but you build on them for the future. And you discover that we are to build a life that is equal to the will of God for our lives. So there's a practical exhortation here. Go on from being a babe to being a full age. Go on from milk to meat. And go on from the foundation which is laid in Christ to the finished work which comes at the end of our lives. And make sure that we have lived a life that's well-pleasing unto Almighty God. Now, it's a very practical exhortation because he says, let us go on. He doesn't say, let me go on. He doesn't say, you go on. He says, let us go on. And what you have here is the exhortation that together we go on in building the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are starting a new phase of the work in just a couple of weeks' time, and that is the time to everyone to say, let us all together, let us all together pull together, let us all together go on in the work of the Lord. Let me share something with you. I was in my previous church for 7 years in Northern Ireland, and I loved that church and loved the people, and never thought that I ever have another people like them. And yet the Lord has given me a people here that we likewise love. But I left that in 1976 to come here. They are now into their third minister since I left. But every time that work has gone on the ministry, first of all, of Harry Cairns, after I left, no relation of Allen. And then on the ministry of Austin Allen for many years. And now on the ministry of Samuel Murray. And I can tell you, I look back with rejoicing. Even though the building that I designed is going to be demolished shortly, because I had to build another one, a bigger one. You see, that's a blessing to look back and be able to see the people working together and going on together and the work of the Lord going forward. I hope that I'll be able to look back when I'm sitting in a wheelchair with a couple of sticks at my either hand, people look back and say, thank you, Lord, the work in Toronto is going on by leaps and bounds by the grace of the Lord. So God says to us, let us go on. And then you have there in verse number 3, the dedication of the people. This will we do if God permit. May God help each one of us to come to that place. Will you add your name to that and say, I am part of the will, we will do this if the Lord permit. And I pray that this church will go forward, maturing in its ministry, growing and building. And I do pray that the Lord will do great things, even greater things. So as we look back, and maybe from eternity, we'll look back and see that God has done a way above anything that we could even ask or think. May we truly be able to say, the Lord has done great things for us. We're off. We are glad. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou would touch every heart this morning. And Lord, help us to reach out and to grasp this command of thine. Let us go on. And Father, we pray that this work may go on from strength to strength. And that what we have seen thus far will be nothing compared to that which will be seen in days to come. Bless every individual believer. We know, Lord, the old devil would love to stop them from their forward movement. He'll hang on behind. He will try and pull them back. But our Father, we pray that thou would help us by thy grace and by thy strength to go forward in the steps of the Master and to follow in the train of his triumph. And Father, should there be a soul here this morning that knows not the Lord, we pray it even today that soul would start this new year by coming and kneeling at the cross and asking Christ to save. Oh God, we pray that thou would hear and answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn and our communion hymn, number 671. The paraphrase, O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. Number 671, and if you're not able to remain for communion, feel free to leave at the end of the singing of the first verse. 671, we'll stand to sing. Be seated. We're going to turn